Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning into our program today. You may know that Family Talk is a listener-supported program, and we remain on the air by your generosity, literally. If you can help us financially, we would certainly appreciate it. God's blessings to you all.
That's right, Dr. Dobson. And friend, thanks to generous listeners like you, Family Talk can reach more and more listeners with practical help and encouragement. To support Family Talk with your best gift, go online to drjamesdobson.org or call 877-732-6825.
Today on Family Talk.
Welcome to Family Talk with your host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Roger Marsh, and on the last edition of Family Talk, we heard from one of the greatest speakers and authors of our time, the late Mr. Zig Ziglar. Zig was a man Dr. Dobson truly loved. He provided motivation and training for people from all walks of life for more than 40 years, his organization, Ziglar, Inc. He authored more than 30 books and influenced countless of lives before going home to be with the Lord on November 28, 2012, at the age of 86. Zig was married to his lovely wife, Jean, for 65 years. He left behind 7 grandchildren, and he and Jean raised 4 adult children, including his daughter, Susan, who had gone home to be with the Lord. Also daughters, Julie and Cindy, whom we'll hear from a little bit later on in this broadcast. Zig Ziglar shared the stage with 3 U.S. presidents, and he had a tremendous influence on people from all walks of life, which is why we honor his legacy today. And by the way, if you missed the first part of this conversation, go to our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org and click onto Past Broadcasts, and you can hear that program in full. Zig was the author or co-author of more than 30 books, including his autobiography called Confessions of a Happy Christian, and we have a link for that book on our broadcast page as well. Go to drjamesdobson.org to learn more. And now, here is Dr. James Dobson to continue this special reflection on the life of Zig Ziglar right here on Family Talk.
Zig, you lost a daughter not too long ago. And it had a profound impact on you, as it would for any father or mother. Explain what happened. She had pulmonary fibrosis. Is that correct?
That's correct, Jim. We knew she was sick, but we had no idea that she was as sick as she was. The doctors had said probably in 2 or 3 years she would need a lung transplant. And then about 2 weeks after that, she awakened one morning just in desperate shape. We had to call an ambulance, take her to the hospital, and 2 weeks later, she was gone. And actually, we expected her, the doctors did, for last only about a week. I will be eternally grateful for that last week, because though she could not respond to what we were saying, she was able to acknowledge, you know, with a nod of the head or a smile, that she was hearing what we were saying.
And how old was she?
She was 46, I'm sorry.
And, yeah. And how many children do you have?
I had four. We have four.
And, yeah. Was she the eldest?
She was the oldest one. She sure was.
Yeah. What did it do to you?
Well, the first thing, it broke my heart, Jim.
Yeah.
But God is so good. He had impressed upon me a number of years earlier, after I became a Christian, and I immediately started witnessing to all members of my family. But she resisted. And, you know, even a father can only go so far. She had seen her dad get excited before. And so one day, God just impressed upon me. It was almost like it was verbal. Why don't you write her a book? And I said, all right, Lord, we will write her a book. I wrote Confessions of a Happy Christian. Every word, every example, every illustration, every Bible verse, every story, everything was aimed at bringing my daughter into the kingdom. Hmm. And God used the book for that purpose. And knowing where she was, Jim, was extraordinarily comforting. Doesn't eliminate the grief, but it makes it more bearable. And one of the things, 2 of the verses that gave me so much comfort, Psalms 139:16 tells us that our death date is determined before our birth date. That removes guilt. We loved her as much as a child can be loved. We told it to her thousands of times. We provided the best medical care that was available. There were prayer meetings held for her in India and Israel and Canada and all over America and who knows where else. But God had her days measured. And so that removes guilt. We never once talked about, you know, maybe we should have, or I wish we had a, or you know we could have.
Did she know she was dying?
She did. She knew it many months before she died, Jim. And the reason I know she did, she told me one day, she said, "Dad, knowing your faith and your optimism, I'm afraid you're going to tell my daughter Catherine that you know God's going to heal her mother. Dad, we don't know that. God is sovereign. Mm. If he chooses to heal me, I'll rejoice."
Mm. Now, you had your own frightening experience in a hospital. Bring us up to date on what happened.
February the 22nd, I awakened with a full day planned. It was a few minutes after 5. And 5 minutes later, I was calling to my wife, "Get dressed. We got to go to the hospital." I had my third attack of diverticulitis, and my blood loss was large and instantaneous. Before she could get dressed and ready to go, I had the second blood loss. Got to the hospital, that was the third. I ended up losing 6 pints of blood and fainting, and they sent out a code blue. And, Jim, what happened then is just one of those miracles of God. Because my daughter, who had spent a lot of time in the hospital with her husband, who had a liver transplant, had insisted that she and her mother be permitted to ride down on the elevator as they took me to this room. And when they sounded the code blue, my daughter jumped up screaming, "Are we losing him? Are we losing him?" Now, I was fainting. I was out at this time.
Yeah.
And then she called her mother, "Pray, Mama, pray. Call on Jesus." And she said, and they immediately just called on Jesus. And at that point, she saw, they opened the door, and she saw me, and she said, "Hang on, Daddy." She said, "There are angels all over the place, and Jesus is there." Mm-hmm. Well, I was out only a very, very brief period of time, but when they sent out that code blue, it created a lot of excitement. My pulse had almost flatlined, and they had the paddles out ready to use them if need be, but they did not have to. And when my daughter and my wife started praying there, it was just a matter of seconds that the pulse picked up, and I was, you know, breathing again, and I awakened to a nurse saying, Mr. Ziegler, are you okay?" And I said, "Yes, I'm okay. Are you okay?" My daughter said she knew then that her daddy was going to be all right.
Mm. You had an experience with what you believe to be an angel when you were unconscious there.
Yeah.
And there may be people listening to us today who won't understand that. I do, because it's happened in our families. Never happened to me. But I believe there are encounters like that when you're very near death for many people. What was yours like?
I was, I know in retrospect that I was unconscious when I had this dream, and it was so vivid and so clear. I saw an angel there in the room. He was a man about 55 years old, had on a straw hat and a tan suit. And he looked at me and kind of halfway smiled and gave me a little hand signal that said, "Everything's going to be all right." In my dream, I had prayed to God and asked him to extend my life, that I had so many things I wanted to do for my family and my fellow man. And God gave me the assurance in that dream that he would grant that wish and extend my life. And, Jim, there's even another little, and I don't understand all of this, but my closest friend for the last 37 years is a Jew from Winnipeg, Canada. He's more like a brother. And when he heard of my illness and the operation and all, he couldn't sleep. He was just terribly at ease. He turned and tossed and twisted. And then he had a dream. And when he told his daughter about it, she was stunned because he never dreams. Once in a while, he'd get some fuzzy picture.
Yeah.
But he said he clearly saw our daughter, Susie. And she was dressed in white and looked like an angel. And Brother Byrne said, she said to him, "Uncle Bernie, don't worry about Dad. He's going to be with us a long time. And, Jim, those are things I don't understand.
Yeah, yeah. I don't understand them either, but they're real. And my father had an experience like that, and he told me about it the last time I ever saw him. It was in October 1977, and he died December 4th of 77. But this is the last time I had a chance to be with him. I'd flown through Kansas City and had gone to the hospital. He'd had another heart attack, and we didn't know that he was going to die. But he was seriously ill. And he said, I got to tell you something. I have to tell you something. And it was about midnight by that time. And he told me about an experience he'd had that morning where he had a something on the order of a vision that occurred before dawn that morning. It was the gray light of early dawn. He described it in great detail. And he said, I was not asleep and I was not in a coma. But he said, I was just lying there and I was praying and just kind of gathering my wits about me. And he said, I saw this vision. And what he described was a man who was sitting at a table writing. And he came to realize who that man was because he was making the most eloquent plea for my dad before God and describing the life he had lived and how he had tried to serve Jesus, who was the one that was writing. Mm. And it was like a lawyer making a case before the judge about this man. And then the very end of it, he said, he wrote the last word and then he threw his hand out. And the last word was, he is acceptable. Mm. And everything disappeared. And I believe my dad did have an understanding there that Jesus was making a case for him. And if there ever was a man who deserved it, I think as much as any of us can, he did.
Jim, I've had two other experiences with angels, and there's zero doubt in my mind that they were there protecting and looking after me.
You know how foolish this is going to sound to some people out there listening to us? Because it sounds so, you know, like a myth. It sounds like we are manufacturing things. Yeah. But I believe it.
Yeah. One of them I very briefly will tell you. I crossed the railroad track on my way home one evening late. I remember crossing the railroad track, and I remember turning right. The next time I remember anything was when the military police at Fort Jackson, South Carolina, their flashing lights awakened me. I was several blocks inside the fort. They had to lead me out. I had gone straight for 5 miles, had turned 90 degrees left, was doing about 65 miles an hour through the guard gate there at Fort Jackson, and that's what they told me later. And then they had to lead me back out of the fort. When I got home and told my wife about it, she said, honey, she said, I was praying for you awfully hard tonight. I'm convinced beyond any doubt that an angel drove my car. People say, well, you weren't really asleep. I was sound asleep, Jim. Mm-hmm.
Well, we both have an awful lot to be thankful for. You had your brush with death, and I've had a couple of them myself.
Yeah.
And I'm just glad to be here, aren't you? You said in my office you just had so much left you wanted to do.
Yeah. I'm grateful to being here, but the good news is that God called me on home at that point. I was ready to go.
Were you ready?
I was ready.
No regrets?
No regrets.
Nobody need to apologize to?
That's right. That's right. Yeah. You know, I closed my autobiography by saying that one day I would have my final code blue. And when it comes, I'm ready to go. But the question is, are you ready for your final code blue?
We're all going to have one.
They're all going to have one. And, Jim, then I give a clear-cut plan of salvation. The last thing I want them to read and think about is meeting Christ as their Lord. Everything else is bells and whistles.
Doesn't matter a bit, does it?
It sure
does. All the things we chase, the money, the fame, the power, the influence—
the material things, none of it makes a bit of difference. It's all going to burn.
That's right.
And the only thing that matters is being ready to meet him on the other side, yeah, and to bring as many people as you can, yeah, with you, beginning with your own family.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the core, yeah, of my value system, the absolute core.
Same here. I've written the directions for my funeral. I know it is going to come one day. I picked out the songs I want sung, and as I told our pastor when I sent him the letter, when I go, I want to take a load with me. I want it to be the most evangelistic sermon you've ever preached in your life, because there will be some lost people there, and looking at what's left of my remains, but I won't be there.
Well, for those in our listening audience who have just joined us, I'm James Dobson, and what you've just heard was an interview done between me and Zig Ziglar, my great friend, 13 years ago. And what powerful final words those were, spoken by Zig Ziglar. And that benediction summarizes the man. You can hear in his words his character, his values, his love for his family, his love for the Lord. And to put a capstone on this tribute to Zig Ziglar, we have placed a phone call to his two daughters, Julie Ziglar Norman and Cindy Oates. And they are on the phone with us today. Julie and Cindy, thank you for joining us today. You've been listening to those words from your dad here on the phone, I think. And so you have undoubtedly been touched by what he had to say. What do you recall from your relationship with him, either one of you?
Well, I'm Julie, and I'll speak first. Dad was absolutely a totally supportive, kind, encouraging, loving father. And there wasn't anything that he did that wasn't with the mindset of how will this benefit this person or that person. Mm-hmm. And listening to what he was saying there, that's exactly how things did play out in the end. The pastor delivered the funeral service as he had written and requested, and it was powerful, and I know there were people touched, and I know there were people saved, and we're going to be hearing more about it as time goes on.
Zig took a nasty fall back in 2007, and he was badly injured, but he didn't even give up speaking then, did he?
No, he did not. He just found another way to continue doing what he felt like the Lord wanted him to do, and that was to encourage people, maybe in a different way, you know, who had suffered a setback and who were no longer able to function like they had. He wanted to show folks that you might not be all you had been, but you could still be everything God wanted you to be.
Mm. Well, you and I talked on the phone a little earlier, and I asked you if you all realized just how much I loved your dad. I met him way, way back, I guess it was in the 70s, when he spoke in Aspen, Colorado, and I had the privilege of being there, and I saw his heart then. And his love for Jesus Christ, and he never hid that. He was an evangelist in a manner of speaking. And I told you that, and you said something back to me that I appreciated. Tell me again.
That's right. When you asked me if I had any idea how much you loved my father, I said that I believe that I did. If you loved him as much as I knew that he loved you, and I believe that was true.
Tell us how your mom is doing.
Well, this is Cindy. Mom is amazing. She's in a retirement home, and she's made a lot of friends, and she's still hugging every chance she gets.
Well, I hope you'll give her our regards. We heard today about the loss of your sister, Susan, at the age of 46. You can't imagine, I'm sure, that they're together on the other side today.
Yes. Yes, and I tell you what, I just want to share this with you because it's such an extension of the interview that you did with Dad all those years ago. When the doctors let Dad know that his time was slipping away, his very first response was, well, you know, it's kind of sad to think of all of this coming to pass, and he spread his arms out wide. He said, but, you know, I just can't help but get excited when I really stop and think about it. Did you know the Lord has gone ahead to prepare a place for me that is so incredible I can't even imagine it?
Mm-hmm.
That was his first response.
I feel the same way. Thank you all for joining us. We're out of time. I hope to get a chance to meet you at some time. Please come by and see us here at Family Talk, and our prayers are with you.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Dobson. Thank you so much.
God's blessings to you and your family, and especially to your mom.
Yes, to you as well, and to everyone there who makes your ministry just serve God. Thank you.
And what better way to honor the legacy of one of Dr. Dobson's dearest friends than to hear the words of love and appreciation expressed by Julie Ziegler Norman and Cindy Ziegler Oates, two of Zig Ziegler's daughters. On today's edition of Family Talk, we have been enjoying the second installment of a two-part conversation Dr. Dobson had with his dear friend Zig Ziegler. Up Close and Personal with Zig has been our theme. And when you visit our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org, be sure to click on the links for both Part 1 and Part 2 of this program, either to listen to them again or to share them with a friend. Again, you'll find both of them on our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. In addition, we also have a link for the book Zig Ziglar referred to during our broadcast today. It's called Confessions of a Happy Christian. Many people refer to this as Zig Ziglar's autobiography, but as you heard him share with Dr. Dobson a moment ago, this is a work he actually wrote for his daughter Susan when she was wrestling with whether or not she believed that she could trust Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. Look for a link for that book, Confessions of a Happy Christian by Zig Ziglar, when you click on to drjamesdobson.org. Throughout his 40 years of broadcast ministry, building a family legacy of love and faith in Christ have been the hallmarks of Dr. James Dobson's writing, teaching, and speaking. Now you can experience these pillars of faith building in your home with the Building a Family Legacy video series. It's easy to obtain this powerful resource to use in your own home or at your church or school. Ordering information awaits you at drjamesdobson.org. And finally, this word of thanks for your prayers and ongoing financial support of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. This program is completely listener-supported, and we rely on God through your tax-deductible financial contributions to help us continue in the work that God has called us to, which is equipping families to stand for righteousness in today's culture by modeling healthy marriages and parent-child relationships. You can make your donation securely online when you go to drjamesdobson.org, or you can make your contribution over the phone when you call toll-free, 877-732-6825. Again, the toll-free number for your tax-deductible donation in support of the Ministry of Family Talk is 877-732-6825. Thanks so much for your prayers. Thanks so much for your financial contributions, and thanks for remembering the work of Family Talk, especially in your giving. Be sure to join us again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
How do people often come to you asking for advice? Direction in life, maybe prayer over tough issues. Could be about their marriage, maybe about their children, maybe a tough issue that they're facing right now. If that's you, have you ever thought about going back to school or furthering your education? I'm so excited to tell you about a brand new center that has just started at the world's most exciting university, Liberty University. Hi, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors and executive director of the Center for Counselor Education and Family Studies at Liberty. We have partnered up with world-renowned psychologist, marriage and family expert, Dr. James Dobson, to create the James C. Dobson Center for Child Development, Marriage, and Family at Liberty. But here's what's most important. We now have three programs of study coming out of that center where you can, regardless of major, doesn't matter what you're studying, whether you're going to go into psychology, business, science, or what have you, you can now get a minor from the James C. Dobson Center online and become a certified marriage and family relationship coach while you're going to college. Yes, you can. While you're going to graduate school, too, regardless of what you're studying, God has opened up a door here that's so unique. To learn more, just simply go to liberty.edu/Dobson. You'll find out everything you need to know. I can't believe God has opened up this door and brought Liberty University and Dr. James C. Dobson together to offer this program. I hope you go there. Liberty University. It's liberty.edu/Dobson.